Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. In you, he is the hope of glory. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. We are so glad that you have tuned in tonight. Welcome to the Turn on the Light podcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so glad that you have tuned in tonight. And tonight is the fifth Saturday, and I got totally turned around. I thought it was the first Saturday, but nevertheless, we still have an awesome man of God who's going to bring the word. Just want you to know that God loves you, and so do we. We appreciate God for you, for your support every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to tune in to the Turn on the Light podcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our leaders are. Our founder, co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. We are so grateful to God for what he's doing with us. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. We are worldwide. We are associated with churches in 22 different countries, and God is doing a great work with us and through us. And we meet every Sunday morning at Sunday school at 9 a.m., and our worship service at 10 a.m., and we meet also on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. Amen. We are so grateful for what God is doing in our midst. He is awesome, and he is great in our midst. And we thank God for everything that he's doing. Tonight we are having, amen, Holyween with the young people at our church. So we are there now doing that, and God, amen, is in the midst. And we thank God for everything that is going on, for what he's doing with us and through us. God is so, so good. We thank God for, amen. We also having a basketball tournament at the gym, and God is so good. We are just doing what we can for the name of the Lord. And we thank God for you, and especially you tuning in tonight, because God is on the throne. He is still in control. In spite of Corona, in spite of everything that's going on, in spite of everything that's going on, we know God is still in control. And those of you who have not voted, please go ahead and vote. Amen. On Tuesday, amen, exercise your voice. Amen. That we would be able to have a say in what's going on in our lives, because truly it's going to affect you one way or another. Amen. We thank God for everything that's happening. Amen. And we love God because we know whoever is elected and selected, they're by God Almighty. Sometimes it don't seem that way, but God chooses. He bring up and he set down. So we know God is good and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Tonight we have an awesome man of God who is stepping in and is going to speak anyway. It's not really his night, but he is such an awesome man of God, and is so awesome because this man of God is so awesome that they don't only tune in when it's time for them to speak. They tune in on a regular basis supporting this broadcast, and I thank God for him and his wife. They are awesome people of God, and tonight this man of God is none other than Elder Randolph Ford. We're going to ask him to press one on his phone so we can bring him live and we can hear, amen, what God has for us tonight through the word of God from him. Amen. Press one on your phone, and we'll definitely bring you live, amen, so we can hear what God has to say to us tonight. And Minister Elder Ford, you are now live on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, Pastor Butterfield, and also to your wonderful wife, Ann Butterfield. It's always a pleasure to be on the broadcast because this is an amazing and powerful ministry that serves God. And I'm very proud to be a small part of it. I look forward to it because we never know, with God speaking through us, who we are able to touch. Is everybody doing well in your family? Everybody's well?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. How about you?
Everybody's doing well on this side. Thank the Lord. Why don't I get started? And thank you. Thank you so much. Let me get started this evening from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 6, 8, and I'll be coming from the King James Version. And it reads as follows. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, King James Version. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in this moment, in this time, in this evening, as always, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we pray, Father, that you guide and direct us in that all that we ever say and do, let it bring glory unto you. This evening, Father, I ask that you fill me, your humble servant, like a pitcher that I may pour out to your people what saith the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, continue to bless the hard and tenacious and glorified anointed work of Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen. Give them the strength to continue their broadcast. This evening, Father, we ask that for those who need encouragement of the heart, healing of the body, and comfort of the mind, please do so in a mighty way. You have that power, Father. We ask, Father, that you strip away the pain and suffering from those who might be still carrying the burden of guilt in their life. Father, we ask that you bless the leadership of Light of the World and that you bless the children of the world. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My subject this evening that I would like to speak to you for a little while is just simply not perfect, but willing. Not perfect, but willing. From our text, we hear the words of Isaiah in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. When God put the call out and asked the question by saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? By all outward measures, the words of Isaiah were the right words to answer, where he simply said, here I am, send me. This is the response that we should give to God when he calls us. But when we reflect back on our own lives, we know if we were to be honest and truthful, we probably do not and did not respond in that manner to God when he called us into his service. I want to look this evening with the help of God into the reasons we do not respond as we should when God calls us. We worry about being perfect to what we think is us not measuring up, not living up, or meeting God's standard. Instead, we should concentrate on just being willing to serve God. Not perfect, but willing. I want to show the contrast between the choices we make with the lives that we live compared to the response Isaiah gave to the Lord. To help me in this endeavor, we will look in the Bible to see how others reacted when they were called by God. And this is what's so remarkable about the Bible, because it deals with the reality of how our God deals with not perfect people, but real people like us. Real people in the Bible like us that at one point in their lives did not realize their true value to God. Yes, it's true. Many of the great people of the Bible gave God excuses as to why they would not answer the call. God called them to serve in a variety of ways. And just like us, they all had excuses as to why they would not or could not be obedient and serve Almighty God. Some were too busy living their lives. Some felt they were not worthy because their sins made them feel guilt, shame, fear, or doubt. Still others felt they did not have the gifts or the talents to do what God wanted them to do. What God wanted, they felt, was too big, too grand, too overwhelming. All they really needed to be was not perfect, but willing. Therefore, through our biblical study tonight, I hope that you will be encouraged by realizing that not even those people in the Bible we hold in high regard had their own struggles that we can understand and relate to. Hopefully, we can learn from their examples as to how they eventually got to a place where they could respond or answer the same as Isaiah. Here I am, send me. I'm sure we can learn from their struggles that we do not have to be perfect, only willing. Let us take a closer look at some of the mighty pillars of the Bible, who initially thought they could not be of any help or service to God. We often forget that God is the master planner. In his perfectness, he makes no mistakes in his decision making. If God calls us, that means we are the ones to do what it is that God needs to be done. Not perfect, but willing. I do have three initial points, and then I will close with four final points. My first point, who? Who, in order to deal biblically with not perfect, but willing, who were these people of the Bible? The first one we run across that I'd like to bring to your attention is found in the third chapter of Exodus. His name was Moses. Let's take a look at the life of Moses at the point where God appears to Moses in a burning bush that was not consumed by the flame. God calls Moses to bring forth the children of Israel out of bondage from Egypt to a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And what was Moses' response to God? Moses said in the third chapter of Exodus, King James Version, in the 11th verse, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God answers Moses' question in verse 12, where it reads as follows: Certainly, I will be with thee. Then in verse 13, Moses protested by saying to God, when the people of Israel ask who sent me, what should I tell them? Beloved, notice how, just like us, Moses has excuses, he's delaying, and he's asking questions of Almighty God. This is where God asserted his authority and identity. In verse 14, King James Version, where God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moses, who still was not satisfied, in Exodus 4 and 1, he says in the New Living Translation, just for emphasis, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? At this point, the Lord gives Moses instructions for three miracles he is to demonstrate for the children of Israel. After this, Moses gives his final excuse, found in Exodus, King James Version, 4th chapter, 10th verse, where he says, Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In other words, Moses was telling the Lord, I can't be of any use because I stutter. God countered this excuse by telling Moses in verse 14 that if and when there is a need, Aaron, his brother, can be his spokesman. And I'm sure you know the rest of the story by now. Although Moses had plenty of excuses, he went on to do great and amazing things for God and the people of Israel. Moses, as you can see, initially was not all in or on board with God. When you take into account all of the questions, excuses, and pushback, Moses eventually got to a place where he realized he was not perfect, did not need to be. All Moses needed to be was willing to do God's will. Not perfect, but willing. Who else? Next, we could look at the story of Gideon, in the 6th chapter of Judges. Even as Gideon was hiding in fear, himself, his family, and the wheat from the Midianite, in verse 12, New Living Translation, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Notice the angel of the Lord did say mighty. But then in Judges 6 and 14, New Living Translation, the angel of the Lord told Gideon he was chosen by God to deliver the Israelites out of bondage from the Midianites. Wow. But, and what was Gideon's response? Found in Judges 6 and 15, New Living Translation. Gideon says, how can I rescue Israel? Gideon continues, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and wow, I am the least in my entire family. The answer to Gideon's question came in verse 16, where it says, "The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were only fighting against one man." That answer still did not convince Gideon. So what did Gideon do? His actions are recorded in Judges, New Living Translation, chapter 6, verses 36 through 40. And they read as follows. And if I emphasize these scriptures so you can get the full picture. And for those who might not be familiar with the story or need clarification, that's why I take the time to do this. So 36 through 40 reads as follows. "Then Gideon said to God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way." Now he's talking to God now. "I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised." And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, check this out. Then Gideon said to God, "Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew." So, that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. Again, I'm sure by this point, you know the rest of Gideon's story. Just like us, Gideon had the nerve to question God and to give excuses. Gideon, like us, was not perfect. But with his willingness to serve God, God was able to do great things and miraculous things through Gideon. Not perfect, but willing. My first point continues. Who else? Let me share with you briefly a few more examples of people in the Bible who, when they were called by God, they were hesitant and then eventually ended up serving God's will. In other words, beloved, they went from being reluctant to reliable in their service to God. The soon-to-be newly recruited apostle Nathanael, better known as Bartholomew, just before being introduced to Jesus of Nazareth by his friend, the apostle Philip, being doubtful, Nathanael said to Philip in John, 1st chapter, 46th verse, New Living Translation, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" John 1 and 47 says, "As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." Despite Nathanael's original doubt and skepticism about Jesus, Jesus saw something of value in Nathanael. Subsequently, if you read the remaining verses in this chapter, verses 40 through 50, Jesus asked Nathanael if he believed, and upon his answer became an apostle. In fact, Nathanael is given credit in the Bible for being the first person to refer to Jesus as "Thou art the Son of God." And that quote can be found in verse 49. Again, not perfect, but willing. Who else? The prophet Jeremiah is in this same category.
Wow.
Jeremiah, when he was a young man, God called him to serve. And what was Jeremiah's answer? What was Jeremiah's response? It's found in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, first chapter, verse 6, New Living Translation, and it reads as follows. O sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. At first, reluctant. Then, as described in the rest of chapter 1, Jeremiah went on to prophesy and preach the word of God for over 40 years. He also wrote the entire Old Testament book of Jeremiah, which is the largest book of the entire Bible with over 33,000 words. Not perfect, but willing. Who else? Then there was Jonah. When God called Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh, he ran away. He hopped on a boat to get away from God's call. He was subsequently thrown overboard from that boat and swallowed up by a whale. And it was during this time Jonah went from being willful to willing. He was literally transformed through his repentive prayer. As a result, the whale coughed up or gave up Jonah to the shore in the very location God called Jonah to be. Beloved, I would encourage you to read the rest of that Old Testament book of Jonah. It is an amazing testimony that teaches us that no matter what God's will is, he will have his way. And he will sooner or later manifest his will in our lives. We all eventually get to a point of willingness to do God's will. As it says in Proverbs, New Living Translation, chapter 19, verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's plans will prevail. In other words, in our service under his will, God will be glorified. Also, some of you might be thinking that there is no way that God would call me into his service. The reason? You might be feeling that because during some time in your life, you have sinned. Mm-hmm. And you have sinned for so long or so much that God wouldn't want anything to do with you. You carry a burden of guilt that makes you feel unworthy. Well, let me tell you this evening, I rebuke that guilt-inducing lie back to the pit of hell.
Amen.
Beloved, if you repented, prayed, fasted, and asked for forgiveness, you have been set free, and you are forgiven through the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. And I don't know who that was for out there in Radio Land, but Lord, I ask you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, forgive those who are seeking forgiveness now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who else? For those who feel unworthy, you merely have to take a look at the life of David. David, who basically had the husband of the woman he committed adultery with, murdered. He put this man who was part of David's army on the front line of a war that David's kingdom was fighting. But God still used David in a mighty way as a man after God's own heart. He became a king He became a king at age 30 and reigned for over 40 years. David also wrote the majority of the chapters in the book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, we must not feel that we are so far removed from these not perfect to willing or reluctant to reliable servants of the Lord. Because we too are asked by God to serve his kingdom, God also uses our gifts, talents, and experiences to prepare us for his service. God also sees things in us that we cannot see in ourselves. And we too will be blessed in our service to God. For those who feel unworthy, you merely have to look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Until he had his encounter with God on the road to Damascus, Paul was feared by Christians. Paul was known for capturing hundreds of Christians and sending them to prison and then having them executed. Listen to how Paul, who in Acts 8 and 23, New Living Translation, who still has his original name Saul, is described. And it reads as follows. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Beloved, Saul, the soon-to-be Paul, sounds like a man who was singularly focused and fanatical about destroying God's church and killing Christians. But God still used him to preach the gospel, to start new churches, and had him write over two-thirds of the New Testament.
Amen.
Not perfect, but willing. My second point, why? Why, some may ask, why is it such a struggle to say yes, to answer yes to God when he calls us into his service? The struggle is born out of the true nature of who we are. In the beginning, when we were born into this world, we were born into sin because of Adam. A void in our heart, as Bishop Kevin Jones has taught us, that void was formed in our heart when we were born. And until we knew better, as we got older, we usually filled that void with sin. Why? Because our motivation was to please who? Ourselves. It is not until we are born again that we have a realization of how we have been living in our past sinful life, that we would now begin to fill that void with the love of God through his Holy Spirit. That void is very powerful. That void is always seeking to be refilled with sin. This is why it is a constant struggle to stay on that spirit-filled, born-again road. This is a constant struggle between our worldly flesh and our heavenly Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 23, New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The Apostle Paul describes this struggle in his New Testament book to the Romans, 8th chapter, verses 5 and 6, where it reads as follows. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Paul breaks down this struggle even more, where he says in Romans 7:23, New Living Translation, and it reads as follows, but there is, this is Paul speaking about himself, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind.
Sure.
This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Notice how Paul describes this struggle as war. It seems that in addition to guarding your heart, we should also pray to God to help us guard our mind. Following this same sequence, obviously, David knew about this struggle also within us when he wrote in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And here's Paul again. Here's Paul again, adding more wisdom to this struggle, found in Galatians 5:16-17, New Living Translation, where it reads as follows. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
All right.
Verse 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Not perfect, but willing.
Mm-hmm.
What can be expected as we learned earlier in weeks just recently past, Bishop Kevin taught us this also. What can be expected? When God calls you, he knows what you are called for. So your gracings are going to be different because no two people are the same. God is rearranging, arranging, shifting things in our favor that at times does not feel good, but it's for your good. God is the master planner. He is working on every struggle, every challenge. He is moving and orchestrating things, working them out so that we can be ready and equipped to even help others to do what needs to be done in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
God created and controls the universe. He has the power to stir things up in our life, to bring order and change into our lives. God is breaking the chains of decline and setback, resistance and frustration that causes you to miss what God has in store for you. Still, the question begs to be answered. What is the reason to answer the call if this road is so rough and hard? The Apostle Paul explains and answers this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 20. Yes, 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verses 26-31. And this time, just so that we can understand it in more plain English, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. This is Paul again sharing his biblical wisdom, explaining what is to be expected and why we were called. Take a good look, friends, at who you are when you got the call into this life.
Hmm.
Don't you see many of the brightest and the best among you? Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobody, talking about us, to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebody.
Wow.
That make it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. In other words, beloved, God chose us because we're not perfect people, but who, through our humble willingness to serve God, we would have no problem at all giving God all of his glory because of all he is able to do through us. Not perfect, but willing. My third point, what can we do to move forward or to break through against this struggle, this fight, this war within us? Part of the answer can be found in Proverbs 3:6, New King James Version. It reads as follows: in all ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all our ways, we should acknowledge God, as David describes in Psalms 34:1, King James Version, where it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
All right.
Paul also gives us a good suggestion, found in Ephesians 5:18-20. New Living Translation, where he says, don't be drunk on wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing praises, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, I just want to take a moment to add on this part where Paul talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. Bishop Charles Mugu, who we all know from his trips from Nigeria when he visits our church, once explained to me that the word filled in verse 18 is in the present continuous sense, or the present continuous tense, which means to be filled, like wind filling a sail, making a ship move. It is not a one-time filling. It is not one filling at one time, but a continuous moment-by-moment filling of the Holy Spirit at all times, moving forward in God's will for our lives. Here, another reason as to what we can do is found in John 20:29, King James Version, where it says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Beloved, we are asked to believe in a Jesus who lived, was crucified, was resurrected, and this happened over 2,000 years ago. This is not an easy thing to do. This Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is our heart, void, filler, and mind regulator. When we are asked to believe in something we have not seen, it is the very definition, it is the very description of what faith is, particularly found in Hebrews 11 and 1, King James Version. And it reads as follows. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We are blessed by Jesus when, according to his own words, we believe in him. This belief in Jesus brings us in closer relationship with God. God reminds us that there are no mistakes when he calls us. In Jeremiah 1 and 5, New Living Translation, God said through Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Also in Jeremiah 29:11, New Living Translation, God said through Jeremiah again, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good. Now, while you are breaking through, what can you expect? Whether you're leading, organizing, helping, preaching, teaching within a ministry, understand, beloved, even after you accept the call to service, it won't be easy. It won't be all peaches and cream. As God explained to Isaiah in that same sixth chapter of Isaiah, verses 9 and 10, God explained to Isaiah that people that you come in contact with, saved and unsaved, will hear you and not understand you. They don't, in many cases, they might not even respond to you. They won't even be satisfied in what you're trying to say. They will see you and not perceive you. In other words, they will have sight, but they won't have any vision. Their ears will be heavy and their eyes will be shut. God goes on to explain that although you come up against these roadblocks, these obstacles, you are not to give up. You are to persist. For as long as you are doing God's work under God's word, you will eventually have a breakthrough where eyes, ears, hearts, and minds will be open to what saith the Lord. Paul reminds us in the King James Version of Galatians 6 and 9, where it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as I begin to close, I would like to bring to your attention 4 points briefly to help us remember what was said here tonight. Point number one, reject. Point two, redirect. Point three, rely. And point four, rejoice. Reject, redirect, lie, and rejoice. Point number one, reject. Reject all thoughts of being perfect. A big blocker to serving God is our past sins. We think cannot, which causes us to think that we cannot serve God because we're not perfect enough. We should realize now that God delights in using not perfect people. Remember, Moses, David, Paul, all three were murderers. Despite it all, God used them all. Amen. And he wants to use us. He wants to use us.
Yes.
Reject, rejects all thoughts of perfection. Reject all thoughts of being perfect. My second point, redirect. Redirect yourself into God's power. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13, New King James Version, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll read that again for emphasis. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beloved, we are not in this alone. God has sent the Holy Spirit to guide, empower, teach, and strengthen us. It is not about us. Our successfulness comes from God's power in us. The Bible says in Zechariah 4 and 6, New King James Version, and it reads as follows, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Redirect. Redirect yourself into God's power. My third point, rely. Rely on your willingness to accept God's call.
Mm-hmm.
How do reluctant people become reliable servants? They respond to God's call despite their feelings. Ask yourself, what do you feel inclined to do for God? Whatever you feel in your heart is showing you. It is showing you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of ignoring it or making up excuses, move in the direction of that call. There is an old saying that says, you cannot steer a ship or a car that is not moving. Start moving and start steering in the direction of your call. Let God handle the details.
Amen.
Rely on your willingness to accept God's call.
Amen.
And my fourth and final point, rejoice in our love for God. Because the Bible says in John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Rejoice. Rejoice in our sacrifice for God, because God and his Son made the ultimate sacrifice for us. God the Father gave his Son for us, and the Son, Jesus, gave his life for us. Rejoice. Rejoice in the love and sacrifice of our God. My brothers and sisters, if you don't remember anything, just remember these four words. Not perfect, but willing. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. That is awesome. Thank you so much, amen, for that word, because as a called of God, all of us has experienced that time when God told us to come. And we say, well, I'm not ready. I'm not able. We always look at our, don't see what God is and what God ability in us. And so this is an awesome word that we all can relate to. No matter where you are, God has called you to do something, and you think that you are not qualified or not where you need to be or whatever. God knows best, and all those people, all those witnesses that Elder Ford called on is proof to us that it doesn't matter where we are. If God calls us, He's the one going to fix us up. He's the one going to clean us up, and He knows exactly what He's doing. He don't make a mistake, and we thank God for this rich word tonight. And I'm sure all of God's people out there tonight can bear witness that our mind fights us because we're trying to be above who we are. And God calls us where we are so He can use us and so other people can have a witness that it doesn't matter who you are, but you have to be willing. Attitude, they told me, is determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Meaning how you respond to something will dictate how high you can go in that thing. And so we thank God for this word tonight, man of God. I tell you, awesome word. No, we always going to get an awesome word from you, amen, and your spouse when y'all come on, amen, and deliver this word. We thank God for everything that's been said and done. Those of you who want to talk to this man of God or just want to give your testimony, press one on your phone and we'll bring you live to hear what did you say? What did you feel when you were called? We see we have somebody in queue. Your area code is 404 and your last four digits is 161. You're now live on the air. Caller.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have not listened in a moment, but I'd like to say the word has not only been powerful, but it is living and inspirational. Elder Ford,
awesome.
Thank you. Very clear word.
Hey,
thank
man.
You.
Thank you so much. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. Amen. Anybody else on the call want to express your response to this word tonight? Amen. We thank and praise God for this word. I'm telling you, we all have been there, and some of us are there right now where we feel like we're not good enough. And Satan was, and you know, you use the right word, guilt, would make us feel like, oh, you're not good enough. But we're never going to be good enough because the word of God says our righteousness is like filthy rags. So it ain't us being good. It's God in us being good. So we thank and praise God for this word tonight. Elder Ford, amen. You want to close us out with prayer tonight?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word you poured out to your people. And I am always humble and grateful that you chose this servant to do so. Please continue that everyone who listens to this broadcast in future and those who listened tonight, let them be touched and moved in a way that if they are on the fence, trying to determine if and when they are to answer the call, let that call be done tonight. And let them be so inspired that they find the time, the way, the energy, the creativity to inspire others to answer the call in an everlasting, continuous way to continue to build up your kingdom and bring you the ultimate glory. Father, we exalt and lift up your name, and we are grateful to be able to serve you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, and good night, and God bless everyone.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. We thank God for you, and especially you. Tomorrow, please, tonight, please turn your fall backward, fall back. You're going to gain an hour tomorrow, so please change your clock when you wake up in the morning. You don't be ahead, 1 hour ahead of everybody, but turn your clock back. We fall back, and in the spring, we spring forward. So change your clocks tonight and have your extra hour of rest and peace, and may God bless you. And tell your neighbors and tell your friends every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light podcast. Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Good night and God bless.